Hi, I'm Ella Sean, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest.
In this episode, Ella wraps up the 7-part series, Balancing the Chakras, Heal the Bodies. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. And now, here's your host.
Enchanted Monday, my enchanted beast. How are you? Man, this whole only speaking to you all once a week is really weighing heavily on my soul. I miss talking to you guys on Wednesdays, and I miss talking with you guys, especially on Fridays. But NaNoWriMo has me going crazy. But, you know, it is what it is. And so I'll continue to move forward, and then we'll get back to our 3 days a week and get back on track. But today is Monday. That means it's time for me to motivate you for the rest of your week. And it also means that we have come to the very end of our first series. Holy cow. We have reached the very top of the chakra system, ladies. I can't believe it. I cannot believe we made it, right? Now, as we've been ascending up the chakra, right, I have had to give several caveats because our upper chakras are definitely our more spiritual chakras, right? So starting with the throat chakra, I said we're going to get a little hokey. And last week was the third eye chakra. So we're definitely getting into some new age astral projection territory, right? But I said, please stick with me. Okay, now listen, the crown chakra, it's not even physical anymore, right? It is more spiritual than anything. So the hokey factor is definitely going to be, you know, exponentially increased as we talk about the crown chakra. So I am going to ask you to do what I've had to do in preparation for this podcast. Put your big girl panties on, right? And you know, kind of bear into this thing with me, because heavy is the head that weighs the crown, right? Heavy is the head that wears the crown. I thought that was a fitting title for this episode. So that's where we're starting. As usual, I give you the basics. Because even if you don't want to continue with your study and your work of the chakras, if you ever meet someone at a dinner party or some gala or ceremony, and they start talking about this thing they're looking at, then at least you'll have the basic understanding of what each chakra looks like and all that jazz, right? So here are the basics for the crown chakra. The Sanskrit name is Sahasrara. And I went online to get the pronunciation of the Sanskrit name for it, Sahasrara. And honestly, I heard like three different ways, Sahasrara, Sahasrara, and Sahasrara. I'm going to go with Sahasrara. Or Sahasrara. I like that one. It was simple for me to say, and it sounded more familiar to me. So it means 1,000 petal lotus flower, right? And that's what surrounds the symbol of the crown chakra. It's a 1,000 petal lotus flower with the Hindi symbol for Om in the center. Okay. It's located at the very top of the head, but not where the patella is, right? Not that soft spot for like the newborn baby. No, it's at the very top of the head. Usually that's the flatter part of the head. And since my hair is shaved, I can always go right to the flat center. It's associated with the brain, spinal cord, nervous system, and the pineal glands. It's linked with the higher, more divine self. Its element is thought. I know. Y'all thinking that's not even an element, Ella. What are you talking about? It's an element. Its element is thought. Its mantra is the dissipating silence that comes after the Om, right? The sound that it responds to is the silence, the dissipating silence after the Om. So, Om. Right there, that dissipating silence after the Om, that's where our crown chakra resides in sound. The aroma, sandalwood, rose, lavender, all of those beautiful scents that we love so much. And they are expensive in our aromatherapy and essential oils. Sandalwood is crazy expensive, but God, it smells amazing. And it's my favorite scent. And emotionally, it allows release. Okay. So spiritually, it's freedom. It's 100% spiritual freedom. Its affirmation is I understand or I know. And there is no food associated with the chakra because it's not physical, it's spiritual. Lavender and certain quartz, or not lavender, excuse me, but pink quartz, clear quartz, and now I'm drawing a blank. I cannot remember the stones associated with this chakra. And it's purple, and I have a butt ton of it. Let's see. I'm looking for it now because I know what it is. It's the really beautiful purple stone. I keep it with me all the time. I even have some in my purse when I'm going out. Oh, let me find it. Guys, this is really bothering me. Like, seriously bothering me. Blah, 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 blah. I cannot believe this. I really cannot believe that I can't remember what the stone is. OKB. Amethyst. Good grief. Guys, let me say this, okay? My brain is sludge. Because not only is NaNoWriMo kicking my butt, but my lupus decided to embark on its own journey this month. And so, yeah, I am struggling and I'm sorry. But amethyst is one of the stones that that is associated with it. Obsidian, clear quartz, and white calcite. I am so sorry. But yeah, that's what's associated with it. And there is no food because it's not physical. And the color purple or dark indigo is the color associated with it. It is also, you know, purple is the color of royalty. So that's our nutshell introduction to the crown chakra. But now I want to get into the nitty gritty. And this, guys, you really do have to kind of open your mind and open your spirit and take a walk with me, right? Okay. We know where the crown chakra is located. We know that it is the most spiritual chakra we have. It's the highest of the chakras, right? Well, what does it do? What's its purpose? How are we supposed to use it? The crown chakra is the gateway to spiritual wisdom. It is the connection of the individual to the collective universe. It is the facilitator of spiritual growth, connectedness, and emotional ease. Those are like the main functions of the crown chakra. And I was looking through there and I thought to myself, we get the whole connected to the universal energy. We spend a lot of time with that on the third eye chakra. We've already talked about spiritual growth and emotional ease while we were ascending the chakras. But the thing that stuck out to me was this concept of spiritual wisdom, right? Because we know what wisdom is. We can define wisdom, right? And I think that I have defined wisdom several times, right? And basically wisdom is just, you know, not only knowing how something is or why something is, but being able to take from that knowledge what is needed and then apply it to something completely different, apply it to something that's going to make a difference. And I was like, okay, I need to understand this concept of spiritual wisdom. And if I wanted to understand it, I thought, okay, maybe my listeners will too. So spiritual wisdom is the act of unlearning what is known and comfortable to the physical body in order to learn one's true spiritual self. I read this definition and I got it from a really interesting website. And I will, of course, attach it to it so that you guys know where I'm getting my research from. But when I heard this, you know, definition of spiritual wisdom, I wrote it down and I thought about it. And I said, that makes absolutely no sense. I have no idea what they're saying. And it just sounds like a bunch of mumbo jumbo, right? But I had to break it down for myself. And in doing so, hopefully it'll make more sense to you. So it is the act of unlearning what is known and comfortable to the physical body in order to learn one's true spiritual self. Okay, Ellen, help us. Help us know what this means. Let's consider how we become wise people, how we become educated, how we become purveyors of information, right? We take in everything through our five senses, but our five senses are only attached to the physical body. And so we are able to hear, touch, see, smell, and taste everything in our environment. And that is how we assimilate information. It's how we process information, but that is only being processed at the physical level. It is not being processed at the emotional level, through our physical body, and it's not being processed at the spiritual level through our physical body. It is being processed at the physical and intellectual or mental level, right? So how are we supposed to interpret and process the world through our spiritual body if we can't process it through the five senses? That's where the unlearning takes place, right? We have to admit that, first of all, everything we see and everything we hear is not necessarily everything there is to experience in this world, right? We have to be willing to acknowledge and accept that just because we can't see it or experience it through any of our five senses doesn't mean that it does not exist. To the contrary, we have to believe that the intangible and the ineffables do exist. And not only do they exist, we have to believe that we have access to them, that those intangible and ineffable realities are there for us to experience even as we walk in the physical world. Told you it was going to get hokey real fast. So stay with me. Pull up the big girl panties, because I mean, really, heavy is the head that wears the crown, right? The crown is giving you access to the intangible, to the ineffable. That's why it's so heavy. Okay? So we have to unlearn what we think we know about our world and how we perceive it. And then we have to get in touch with who we are as spiritual beings, which of course first requires that we acknowledge that we are spiritual beings, right? First, even before we're physical, we are spiritual. And that our spiritual selves are immortal. There is no end or beginning to that aspect of who we are. And we have to acknowledge that and believe it and trust it. Okay? So once we're able to unlearn what has been taught to us and what we have accepted, then we move on to the real learning and, you know, getting real knowledge of the world, being able to see with our third eye, right? Speak with our throat chakra. Okay? Love and emote from the heart chakra. Interpret and intuit from the solar plexus. Okay? Find passion and joy and upliftment and pleasure from the sacral chakra. Okay? And we'll stay grounded by our root chakra. But we will essentially live in both places at the same time. So hold on to that, because I said it gets real hokey. But when I break it down to you, you're going to be like, oh, that's rich. And it is. So I went to this website and I was looking for, like, okay, this whole idea of spiritual wisdom, how can we really know that we are wise spiritually? And so there are like six ways of knowing. Okay. Number one, you have to find yourself. People say it all the time. I'm taking a gap year after I graduate from high school to backpack in Europe so that I can find myself. Yeah, I know I've been married for 20 some odd years and I have kids and a husband and a mortgage, but I'm going to take a year off and go, you know, around the world on my own just because I know I need to find myself. Everybody keeps saying it. Oh, I need to find myself. I'm looking in the mirror. There you are, right? But it's not that. Because it's not the physical self that people go on these sojourns looking for. No, they are seeking their spiritual being, their essential selves. That's what Enchanted Beast is all about, right? Trying to reconnect with our bold, beautiful, essential, elemental, right? Authentic, authoritative, spiritual, truth and trusting selves. That's what it is. That's what Enchanted Beast is all about. Connecting with that part of us that is elemental, that is essential, that is forever, right? But sometimes we all want to do it, right? We all have that call to go out and find ourselves. But very few of us are actually willing to do what needs to be done to make that happen. I mean, that's why people go off on gap years and they go backpacking, or that's why you'll find, you know, a woman who's been married for, you know, so many years, and all of a sudden she says, yeah, I'm going to take a 6-month cruise by myself. I'm going to do that. Or, you know, Mr. I've been CEO for my entire life. I have more money than God and Cronus and everybody else who ever had money. But I think I'm just going to pack it in and get on my Harley and drive across the country and see what I can see until I feel like I've seen me, right? Because that is the entire purpose of being here, right? It is to find that aspect of ourselves that was before we were anything physical. We have a driving need, an urge, a compulsive urge to find our spiritual selves. But we have to be willing to lose whoever we were in this physical place. We have to be willing to give up what made us comfortable. We have to be willing to walk away from people who provided comfort for us. We have to be willing to acknowledge that any and everything can be taken away from us, because if it's keeping us from seeing who we are, spiritual selves, then it has to go. But very few people will actually allow that to happen, because we are attached to the physical comforts and attached to people and attached to memories and experiences. But those things are fleeting. Anything that's physical will not be forever. So we should not be attached to them, right? Not at all. So seeking one's self is really the first step to spiritual wisdom. Okay? Number two, understand the pain behind the pain. Woe is me. You don't know what I went through. You don't know what my childhood was like. You don't know what happened to me. You can't say what, you know, what's good for me or why I'm in this place, because I have experienced things that you will never, ever have to contend with. Okay, I get it. You have pain. But does that give you a right to inflict pain on others? And then when people inflict pain on you, how do you respond? Do you respond in the most human of ways and retaliate, or you get your feelings hurt? Are you gonna, you know, be upset about it? So how do you respond when others cause you pain? step number two in really honing that spiritual wisdom is trying to understand the pain in the pain, right? Rumi says, the only way to get through the pain, or the only way to cure pain, is through the pain, right? If someone is casting hurt on me, then if I am really moving towards spiritual wisdom, I'm going to stop and ask myself this very basic question. What's hurting them? What kind of pain are they experiencing that they feel so compelled to bring pain to me? What's happening with them that they feel justified in causing pain in my life, right? Because at this point, I'm not focusing on my pain. At this point, I'm trying to understand someone else's pain so that as I am dealing with my own pain, I'm not having to contend with negative stuff that I've put out there because somebody hurt me. I won't continue the cycle. So if I can understand somebody else's pain and how it affects them and how it provokes them to share their pain with others, then I can at least forgive them. Now, I don't have to fool with them anymore, right? I mean, if someone's hurting me, I would be boo-boo to fool to stay and just continuously be a glutton for that pain. However, I can understand or try to gain understanding of their pain, see where it's coming from, so that I can forgive them, not for them, but for me. And then I can decide how I'm going to deal with that situation. Will I continue to be there, or will I remove myself from that situation so that I can continue to connect with my spiritual self? You see what I'm saying? But understanding someone else's pain when they have caused you pain allows you freedom to deal with your own pain so that you don't go about causing other folk pain because somebody hurt you. That makes sense. Okay. Number three, self-control. Oh, Lord Jesus. Very few people have self-control. Very few people practice self-control. Very few people think that that is even something that is possible for them. What is self-control? It is the ability to control yourself. I was coming back from dropping my daughter off at school this morning, and I listen to NPR every morning, the news, because, you know, I trust them. And they were talking about, I want to say it was China, and they have these re-education camps. And so if a person values their religious beliefs more so than they value communist ideology, then they can be taken from their home and put into these re-education camps. If a person decides they no longer want to support communism, they can be snatched from their homes and placed in these re-education camps. And I was, you know, just driving home, and I said out loud, because I often, you know, speak my words, even when I'm by myself. And I said out loud, control what you are able to control, which is only yourself and your response to others. Every person has the ability to control themselves and their response to others. And if everybody practiced this, then we really wouldn't need, you know, the government telling us what to do. We wouldn't need other institutions telling us how to live, because we would be self-governing, right? The only flaw in that is that we're human. And humans will always work in their best interest, even at the detriment of someone else. But this third stage of practicing self-control, if we're able to accept that and practice it, knowing we're only able to control ourselves, not the circumstances, not situations, not other people, not even animals. We are not in control of anything but ourselves and how we respond to other people, to circumstances, to situations, right? We can only control how we respond to those outside factors, but we can practice controlling our emotional selves, our spiritual selves, our physical selves, right? Our mental selves, spiritual wisdom. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Because I haven't even gotten into the chakras yet. I'm just talking about the fact that your crown chakra is the gateway to spiritual wisdom. Okay. Number four, be present in every moment. This is so big. It's so huge. And it's so hard. We are in a society that says we should multitask so that we can be more productive. We should be able to juggle 45 balls at one time, not drop a one. And if someone throws an additional ball in, we should be able to handle that as well, because we are multitasking productive machines. Lie, lie, and lie. We're not meant to focus on 1,000 different things at one time. We are meant to be present in every moment. If I'm having dinner with my husband, I'm having dinner with my husband. I'm not on my cell phone. I'm not looking at TV. I'm not listening to music. I am sitting with him, eating and conversing, and I'm in that moment. Why is it so important to be present in the moment, in every moment? Why is it so important to give your whole self to every moment? I'll tell you why. In a nutshell, if you're paying attention to everything, then you're going to see nothing. And we've already talked about the difference between looking and seeing, right? So if you're paying attention to everything, then you can look and experience everything visually, but you won't see anything. And the devil's in the details. If you're not present in each moment, and then you miss opportunities to grow. If you're not present in each moment, then you miss opportunities to connect. If you're not present in each moment, then you miss opportunities to distress yourself. You miss out on creating the life you deserve to live. But only our physical world wants us to multitask. Only the physicality of where we are wants us to be engaged in 30 different thought processes at a time. Why? Because if you're not paying attention, then you won't see what's going on around you. You won't see what's being stripped from you, what's being pulled over you, right? So be present. That's spiritual wisdom. Number five, feel the pain. And I've alluded to this one already. Be present in your pain. That's why we need to understand other people's pain, and forgive them so that we can be present in our own pain. Because yes, we are all hurting. We are all broken. We are all in pain. But most of us don't even want to acknowledge it, and we won't deal with it. We won't allow it to permeate our experiences because we think out of sight, out of mind. If I don't think about what happened, if I don't think about the hurt, if I don't look at the boo-boo, then it's not there. And I can just move on. Lie, lie, lie. Because regardless of you thinking about it or not thinking about it, that pain is still there. It's still blocking chakras. It's still causing imbalance within your chakra system. So how do you deal with that? Well, you have to be present in it. You have to allow yourself to experience whatever pain is there. Whether it's the pain of being abused or neglected or living in a chaotic household and it has taken, you know, root in your root chakra, you have to own that pain, right? Whether or not it's the pain of not ever having support and not being allowed to experience joy, you have to own that pain so that your sacral chakra can be healed, right? If it was sexual abuse, you got to own it. You've got to allow yourself to experience that pain so that your root and sacral chakra can function the way it's supposed to, right? If someone broke your trust, made you doubt yourself because they never listened to you, you have to own that pain so that your solar plexus can work, right? And you can begin to intuit again. So owning the pain, being present in our pain, that is what allows us to heal the pain. How do you heal the pain? How do you cure pain? Through the pain. You got to get through it. You have to experience it. You have to allow it to eviscerate you, right? To burn away itself. And we certainly can't be fearful of what is going to be left when the ashes fall away. We embrace it. And number 6, root work. No, not root work. I'm not talking about the hoodoo that we do down here in the South. I'm talking about root work, getting to the cause of the problem. Again, it's about acknowledging what really set your life off kilter. 9 times out of 10, it started at home. I was talking with my husband and we were having our Sunday coffee at Starbucks, and I said, it makes me so sick because we're Southern, right? We are Southern, born and raised right here in South Carolina. And there are just certain values, right? You're Southern, you know, Bible Belt. You honor your mother and your father so that that days might be long. We all grew up hearing it, right? And I told my husband, I said, you know what? That's a bunch of bullshit, in all honesty. This honoring of parents so that your days might be long. Well, how about this? I'll honor a parent who is honorable. That's my take on it. Because we grow up with this being kind of inundated by this concept of honoring and respecting our parents, then we are not given permission and we refuse to give ourselves permission to acknowledge the root of our problems. If your mom was slack in her rearing of you, acknowledge that. Acknowledge that her actions shaped you and deformed you in some ways. And even in that acknowledgement, we have to understand your mom's pain, right? Understand mom's pain. Well, why did she do this? Forgive mom, and then we can be present in our own pain, but we can't do any of that if we are not really willing to acknowledge the root of the problem. And 99.9% of the time, the root of every problem starts at home. Starts with your childhood, right? All that hurt, all that pain, all that suffering, that's been dumped into your chakras. And what are you supposed to do with that? Right? It shapes you and deforms you. And we have to be able to acknowledge that without taking on even more negative energy and emotion, like guilt and shame. And that's where sometimes we have to walk away from people. Sometimes we have to walk away from situations. Sometimes we have to go out and be alone and be okay with it, right? Because that's just the nature of the beast. She cannot be spiritually wise and burdened with pain that doesn't belong to her. That's just not how it goes, right? Heavy is the head that wears the crown. And now we're getting into the crown chakra. Because I really wanted to focus on this spiritual wisdom, because it takes spiritual wisdom to be able to honestly maneuver in this crown chakra, because it is spiritual, not physical. And the first step to opening and healing and balancing the crown chakra is to make sure that your root chakra is opened and balanced. Remember, we have three lower chakras, three upper chakras, and a connecting chakra in the heart chakra. And each of our higher chakras have a balancing lower chakra, right? The crown is balanced by the root. The third eye is balanced by the solar plexus, and the throat is balanced by the sacral. Those lower chakras have to be balanced. They have to be healed and they have to be open. That is why we ascend up through the chakras as opposed to descending down. You have to have your physical space in balance. You have to be grounded physically if you are to transcend the physical and live spiritually. So balance the root chakra first. Make sure your sacral is balanced and open. Make sure your solar plexus is doing its thing. And the heart purifies all that energy. The heart chakra purifies all the energy of the lower chakras so that as it comes up and ascends into the higher spiritual chakras, it is pure. It is pure. And we'll allow these upper spiritual chakras to open and be balanced. And ooh, child, when all that takes place, I can't wait to talk about it. Okay. Whew. Time is flying. Okay. So we have to talk about our chakras in terms of being blocked, overactive, and then balanced. And just like any chakra, that crown chakra can be blocked and it can be overactive, but we want it to be balanced and spinning. If your crown chakra is blocked, you have feelings of isolation. You have an inability to connect with others, to connect spiritually, right? You lack direction. You're not quite sure what you want to do with your life. It's just, hey, I'm here. I hope I end up someplace. That's my plan, right? Inability to set or make goals, right? You can't even think of a goal to make. You can't even, you know, even concern yourself with meeting the goal. And as I've stated before, I'm not a goal setter. I'm a standard setter. And I have standards for my life. And that's what I live to. But if you're blocked, then you're not even able to do that. You feel disconnected from the universe, from people in the spirit and divine. When your crown chakra is blocked, it's very lonely. It's very lonely to have a crown chakra that's blocked. But if you have an overactive crown chakra, you're dealing with depression, lack of empathy, dizziness, confusion, mental fogginess, seizures, light sensitivity, feelings of superiority, aggression, judgmental, distrustful nature, and feelings of being lost. Just wondering. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I went on a bird walk when I was going through and jotting down all the feelings associated with blocked and overactive crown chakra. Because as you know, I have lupus. I also have narcolepsy with cataplexy. And a butt ton of my symptoms, a butt ton of my symptoms from each of my major illnesses fall on this blocked and overactive list. And I was like, I'm going to jot it down. So it's like EDS, difficulty concentrating, poor memory, mental fog, and excessive need to sleep, cataplexy, gosh, it's a ton, like facial twitching, unusual tongue movement, jaw tremor, dropping head, yada, yada, yada. And it's emotionally charged. And I thought, wow, a lot of this, like apathy comes along with my illnesses, mental fogginess, light sensitivity, all of this stuff. It's kind of what I deal with every day. And so I've been asking, wow, I think I'm overactive. I think my crown chakra is overactive. I feel, you know, connected to everyone, maybe too much. I'm extremely, yeah. So I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, we got a lot of work to do. I have a lot of work to do. But that was a side note. I thought it was interesting. When the crown chakra is balanced, then one feels grounded and all the physical needs are met, right? So you feel grounded. You're in control of your emotional body. You're intuitive and able to make decisions based on spiritual connections. You're connected to the divine in you as well as the divine in others. I was looking for an N word for a project I'm working on. I wanted a powerful N-word, and I ran across namaste, and I kind of knew what it meant, right? I know that it's a greeting, right? But I wasn't quite sure exactly what it meant. And so I went and you know, give me the exact meaning. And it really is basically saying, I bow down to the divinity in you. I acknowledge that you are a divine person because my divinity, you know, vibes with your divinity. And I thought, wow, that's very powerful that we're able to connect on a divine level in that way. All right. Whew. We want a balanced crown chakra. First and foremost, the only way to achieve balance in the crown chakra, the only way to achieve balance in any of the chakras is to make sure that all of the chakras are healed and balanced. If my root chakra is blocked, then some other chakra is going to be overactive because it's trying to create energy balance, right? It has to be an energy equilibrium. That's what the chakra system is. It is a system of energies, and they have to all be balanced. Because if one isn't given enough, then one is going to give way too much to try and make up for the deficit. So if one is giving off too much, the other's going to hold back some so that there's not too much flowing through the system, because it has to be balanced. That's how life works. We are always seeking equilibrium. When we're out of equilibrium or in a state of disequilibrium, then all sorts of craziness happens in all of our bodies, right? So, to balance the crown chakra, to balance any chakra, all of them have to be balanced. It's important that we work from the ground up, because remember, our lower chakras anchor our upper chakras. Okay? So if you're going to take this further and you're going to actually do the work, don't start at the top. You can't. Right? You have to be anchored physically, and then you can explore spirituality. Okay? So when I'm balanced, all seven of my chakras are balanced. They are open. They are healed. They are spinning. The energy is flowing. Now what? What's this mean for me? I'm going to go with Jesus Christ. Why? Because I grew up Christian and Baptist in the South. But honestly, you can put any major prophet or you know, spiritual guru from any faith you want in here. But this is how it works. Christ was born of a woman. Yes, yes. Just like we all are. Born of a woman. And he never, ever, ever, ever forgot that his father was divine. He always remembered that he himself was actually more than one being. He was a spiritual being, and then he took on a physical form. And he always knew that. He never doubted that his divinity gave him access to the intangibles and the ineffables, allowing him to do extraordinary things in the physical world. So he never doubted that about himself. He never doubted, you know, what he was. He always knew that he was divine. And because of that, he could essentially live in two domains at once. He was both spiritual and physical. And his spirituality allowed him to affect change in the spiritual world. That's why people still are worshiping him. But really, why? Are we not born of woman? Are we not divine? Do we not come from the exact same divinity that created us? Well, of course we do. And that is why when we have all of our chakras open, when we have everything healed and spinning, and balance, well, we are able to live as spiritual beings in a physical world. Okay, I'm going to show you. Hold on. All right, starting from the roots, I'm open and balanced. That means I'm secure and stable. I'm able to face my fears. I'm calm. I'm more sexual and I'm more instinctual. I roll on up to my sacral chakra. I have direction. I'm focused. I'm a problem solver. I'm emotionally stable. I'm passionate. I'm seeking joy and I'm creative, right? Now I can go on through my solar plexus. I'm more open-minded. I'm letting go of limiting beliefs, right? I don't feel like I have any limits at all. I can think outside of the box. I have insight into who I am as a spiritual person, right? And my own mind. And now I'm beginning to grow spiritually. Heart chakra. I feel loved and connected from the collective consciousness of humanity. I'm growing physically and spiritually. And now I'm not afraid to explore other areas of spiritual, you know, spirituality that I once feared. Okay? So now I am connected and growing. I'm at my third eye. Oh, sorry, I'm at my throat chakra. And I know the universe is a safe and secure space where I'm able to explore my deepest desires, because I know the universe wants me to have what I desire. It's safe for me to put it out there and trust that I'll get it, right? And now I'm at my third eye chakra. I listen to, trust in, and act on my intuition. Because I know that it's coming from a collective consciousness, so I can listen to it and trust in it and act on my intuition. I am no longer afraid. I've eliminated fear, because fear is from my physical body. I'm moving into my spiritual body, and nothing can destroy me, so I have nothing to fear, right? And now I'm in my third eye chakra. Excuse me, my crown chakra. I've hit 1,000 petal lotus flower. I am able to now transcend my physical experiences and know and accept that there's more to experience in this life than just physicalities. I transcend the physical. And I live as a spiritual being, right? Now, again, all of them have to be balanced. All of them have to be healed. All of them have to be open, and all of them have to be spinning, right? And I was going through, and I put this chart together, just looking at the four bodies, because the title of the series is Balancing the Chakras Heals the Bodies, our physical body, our mental bodies, our emotional bodies, and our spiritual bodies, right? Let's see how it all works out. And all of this means that we are now healed in these areas. The root chakra heals our sexuality, provides mental stability, allows us to emote sensuality, and gives us a sense of security in our spirituality. Our sacral chakra, we are now healed in our reproductive area. We are able to be clear and creative. We experience joy, and we have spiritual enthusiasm. Our solar plexus chakra, we are good with digestion, right? Personal willpower is our mental focus, and emotionally, we are expansive, okay? And we experience growth spiritually. When our heart chakra is good and going, circulation is great in the body. We are intellectually passionate. We find our passion, right? We emotionally experience love for ourselves and others. And spiritually, we become devoted. We become devoted to our spiritual practices. Our throat chakra, our thyroid is healed, right? We are fluent in our thoughts mentally. We have independence emotionally. We're no longer dependent on somebody else to be our emotional barometer. We are independent emotionally. And we have a sense of security in our spirituality, right? Okay. Third eye. That would be our brain and our intuition. They're firing off. Mentally, we are visual consciousness. We have visual consciousness of the world and the collective consciousness we belong to. Emotionally, there is clarity on an intuitive level, right? Because we can trust that intuition now. And spiritually, we are balanced in the lower and the upper powers. And then our crown chakra. We transcend physical pain, hurt, illness. We transcend it. Okay? We are open to knowledge, and emotionally we understand ourselves, and spiritually we're connected with the universe. Balancing the chakras heals the bodies. All right, that's it. Enchanted Beast, this podcast has completed its first series. Thank you so much for taking this journey with me. I hope you're encouraged to explore and heal and use your chakras to create the life you deserve. Remember, heavy is the head that wears the crown, but we deserve to wear a crown, don't we? Thank you for joining me in the Enchanted Forest. Have a great week. Stay motivated, be kind, and practice gratitude. Bye.
This has been Ella Shawn with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember to stay enchanted.